For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome to our class on Rosh Hashanah. And I like it when people say Rosh Hashanah comes early this year, which is
somebody asked me the other day,
by definition, it's like an oxymoron. If it's the beginning of the year. We are going to discuss several things in the class. Mainly, what is the purpose of creation? Why are we here? And that really shots up what Rosh Hashanah is all about. So keep that in mind. It's two verses. Psukim. One that we had recently a few weeks ago in the Parsha. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Mimach. What does Hashem ask from you? Ki'im the Yiras Hashem Elokecha. To fear Him. Right? That's what Hashem asks from us. To have a fear for Him. That's Yom Kippur. And we have a verse from David HaMelech that we've been saying all this month. Achad Shal Timeis Hashem. I have one request of you, Hashem, Moisa Avakesh, Shifti Beveis Hashem Ko Yimei Chayai, L'chazos B'noyam Hashem, L'vaker Be'achalo. My one request from Hashem is that I always want to dwell in your house. I want to feel the pleasantness, the geshmak of your Torah, of your mitzvahs of serving you. And to be like a visitor, have that newness always in your sanctuary. I want Avas Hashem to love you. On Yom Kippur, Hashem requires of us fear of Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah, we ask Hashem to let us get closer to Him. Avas Hashem. That's that Tehillim, the psalm that we read all during this month of Elul, 27. Achad Shalti, says David HaMelech. And we've discussed this in the past. What does it mean? I only have one request of you, Hashem. When we see throughout the Gansa Sefer of Tehillim that David HaMelech has many requests, right? What does it mean? I only have one request. I want to dwell in your house. So we understood that David's requests, all of his requests, that was the final tachlis of him. The final, like the sum total, the purpose, the whole reason he had all his other requests, to be victorious in war or to be healed from sin, whatever it was all for the purpose Shifti Beveis Hashem, to be a Yeshev, to like in Yeshiva, to be a dweller, a permanency in your house, Hashem. That was the purpose, and that's what we're supposed to do. All our requests, Rosh Hashanah, a person's sustenance is decided for the year. Everything is decided for the year, right? But why are we asking for these things? You know, we're going to ask for Chaim, Zarchainu L'Chaim. Right? Over and over again. Chaim, Chaim. What kind of Chaim? Why do we want Chaim? Why do we want life? So go around saying L'Chaim? Right? Is that it? No! We want Chaim. We want a Chaim of Torah, a Chaim of Mitzvahs, a Chaim of a Yid. Mamish to be alive. I told you the story many times. The two Hasidim bragging about their Rebbeim. One says, my Rebbe is so great, he can Mechaim Esim. He can resurrect the dead. Another chassid said, that's nothing. My Rebbe is so great, he can resurrect alive. We want chiyus. In our lives we want to be alive. And life means to be alive. In life means to have a connection with your Creator, to Ribbono Shel. That's Rosh Hashanah. Zachreinu L'Chaim. And everything we ask for, the parnasa, the sustenance, the money, everything, the children, it's all for the purpose somehow connected to serve you better. That's what the simonim are at the table. You know, Rosh Hashanah, we do a bunch of simonim, signs. You know, the challah in the honey, right? The apple in the honey, and we eat some people eat seeds of a pomegranate, or they have carrots, and they have beets, and they have leeks, and all these have their names in Hebrew, it's a representative of certain things. Kara, roa, gazar, dinenu. Tear up our evil decrees. May our merits be fruitful and multiply like fish. So we have fish. So what's the whole purpose of all this? What's the whole purpose of these simonim? Really, this is a day.
Simonim.
Honey. Oh, thank you, honey. Stands pure. What is the purpose of all these simonim that we do on Rosh Hashanah? And the purpose is, if this is a day that we send, it's all to Hashem. It's a day we're going to get into it about kingship, mamlucha, right? So the simonim that we're asking for a sustenance and to be fruitful, multiply, and to tear up our evil decrees is the same idea that David HaMelech asked for all these things. But it's only really one thing. We're asking for these things that will help us serve you better, Hashem. That's the idea. So that's the idea. That's for Rosh Hashanah. That's why we're asking, Zachreinu L'chaim. What kind of chaim do we want? A chaim that we can serve you better. A chaim that we can feel something and love you more. Said yesterday in the Parsha that always ends up in the week of Rosh Hashanah, right? Umal Hashem Lokecha es Levavcha, Hashem will circumcise your heart. He'll take that unfeeling orla, the foreskin off the heart, and you'll be able to feel. That's what we're asking for in Rosh Hashanah. That's the idea here. Okay. That's our introduction. Elul. Still in Elul. So I have a few days left of Elul. Elul is a special time. We talked about this. Elul is a time, the parable is, Kadosh Baruch Hu leaves his palace, so to speak. And he like walks around amongst his subjects. He's available. Okay? Of course, you know, he's available all year round, right? But you don't have to call collect in Elul, right? You can call collect in Elul, excuse me.
It's not long distance.
Not long distance. It's a local call, right? Thank you, toll free. That's it, he's all around. And the request, it's a special time, Elul, Reish Tevis, acronym, Ani L'doidi, V'doidi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. That's this tremendous, again, Ava, this love relationship Hashem has for us. And he's very available. The prayers are heard now. Anything you ask for. You know, it says that prayers, when it comes to physicality, you should kind of limit it a little bit. When it comes to spirituality, Hashem says, pray all you want. You want fear of Hashem, you want love of Hashem, you want... pray as much as possible, especially during this month. This is a time. It's a time when people of the old Musar movement, the new Musar movement, whatever, they used to go out into these solitude, these places like, you know, log cabins in the woods, and they introspection called Cheshbon HaNefesh, take a calculation of the soul. Where am I holding? What's going on with me? Thinking, preparing for Rosh Hashanah, preparing to coronate Hashem. The Melech, that's the big theme of Rosh Hashanah. To Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make Hashem a king over us. And that's what we're going to talk about in detail. Okay, so this is Elul. This is a time that we have to stop and, whoa, don't get so caught up in the race out there, right? Think, what's going on? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? What's my relationship to you, Hashem? How can I make you more of a king over me? How can I be a more loyal subject during this coming year? How was I last year? Whatever. Got to stop and think about things. That's what Chodesh Elul is all about. Yemei Elul Muchanim Musugalim Yoiter LeKabbalas Tshuva. There's more Musugal for Tshuva during this time. The mercy of Hashem is awakened, so to speak, Lamala. And Hashem's hand is stretched out to everybody. This is part of the reason, by the way. So we blow the shofar during this month. Every day during the month of Elul, we blow the shofar. The shofar, if you look, Rambam writes this, and Shulchan Aruch, I think, quotes him. He says the whole purpose of the blowing of the shofar is to awaken a person out of their sleep. A person hears a shofar. He hears a blast. He hears a siren. What's going on? That's the purpose of it. Ki teva kol ha-shofar la-charid alev. What the sound of the shofar does, its nature is it causes the heart to tremble. And he quotes the verse, Im yitake shofar be'ir v'im lo yachadu. When you hear the sound of a trumpet in the city or a shofar, will you not tremble? And the kol shofar, what is it saying? What is, you know, that's a big question. What's going on with that shofar in the shul? What are we doing there? Kol Shofar is saying, Oiru Yishani Mishnaschem, wake up, you sleepyheads. That's what it says. Wake up from your slumber, from your stupor of sleep called life. Sleepwalking through life. Don't know what we're doing. V'chav shumaseyam, look into your deeds. V'chazru b'tshuva, come back, do tshuva. That's one aspect of a shofar. Another aspect of a shofar, they say, words are limited. By definition, words are limited. So they enter, as I'm painting the little black picture here, it's going to get better, don't worry. Alright, but Lamaisa, words are limited. The shofar comes where words end. So is that like in the Lamaisa? The neshama of a yid wants in its essence to do the will of Hashem. We want to be good. And the shofar is that sound that it represents this deep inner cry of the Jewish neshama crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, listen to my cry, listen to my inner dimension, I want to serve you. Draw me close to you. Memakim Karasilach, I call you from the depths of my soul. That's what the shofar is doing. They say Taka, Chiddush Yerim says, Kikama Mishtaik. Ah, welcome. To that degree that a person has tshuka to get close to Hashem, ken geirem tshuka mishamayim lekarvus haodom. It's a reciprocal effect. To that degree that you want to get close to Hashem, to that degree, they bring you close. How much you want to serve me, says Hashem? How much you want to love me? How much you want to fear me? How much you want to be a good yid? That's how much I'll give you. All this is the Kol Shofar. I heard from an official shachter, he said, says, Mamish, the Kol Shofar is saying, Rabbanu Shalom, I do not know anything. Just listen to this Kol Shofar. Listen to this cry. Listen to the sound of the shofar. That sound, that cry of being so much in the tumah and the filth of, you know, our goals of America and wanting to be cleansed and wanting to be purified and wanting to feel Torah and mitzvahs. That's the Kol Shofar. Okay. Of course, the trick is, when we do awaken, the trick is, we'll help talk about this, is to take that throughout the year. It says by Paro. He woke up, right? Paro represents the Yetzer Hara, by the way. It says he woke up, Vayishan, Vayichalom, Shenis. And he slept again. He had a second dream. He woke up from his dream and went back to sleep. Well, that's the Yetzer Hara. When you do have an awakening, right, he gives you some inspiration. Then you go back to sleep. You forget about it. Right? You forget it. You go back to sleep. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is gone. And you're in November. And you're thinking about, you know, the football game on Thanksgiving. Whatever it is, right? So I told you that story. I'm sure we told the story before, but you like stories. Huh?
Yeah.
So it says, if we compare it to it's a very famous story. I think it's brought down Michtav Meliyahu, Strive for Truth. So he says there that there's a king. He was shipwrecked on an island, and a native of the island rescued him, you know. And they didn't speak the same language. I'm telling this very, the kids are here. And then it's like, but he nursed him back to health. The guy was like half drowned, and nursed him back to health and everything. And the mice from the home country, after several weeks, they send out rescue ships to find their king. They found him. Right, the king motions to this native. He tries to communicate him. Come back, I want to reward you for all the kindness you've done for me. You saved my life. That native quite didn't understand what was going on, but like, you know, I guess his harvest of coconuts had come in for the year. He had nothing else to do. So he went with him. He gets to the homeland there. And he sees this tremendous procession and people bowing down to this king. He understands this is a very chashuv person. He doesn't know exactly what's going on. He says, king motions to him. He comes into this huge palace, marble pillars, carpets, wall to wall, right? Ganze thing, beautiful things there. And he's overawed. He says, I know what's going to happen here. The king wants to reward me. Lamaisa, what's a reward by this guy? A reward is a nice, fat goose, you know, a good meal. So the king says, boy chicken, he motioned to him, says, come this way. Probably didn't say boy chicken, okay, fine. And he says, comes with me, he goes down, he goes down this winding spiral staircase. He goes down into this, like, dungeon. And the king unlocks these doors, and inside there's another set of locked doors, and a third set, and inside there's like 100 treasure chests, huge chests. And the king starts unlocking each one of these chests. And one of them is diamonds, one of them emeralds, rubies, sapphires, platinum, gold, silver. He gives this native a sack. He gives him a shovel. And he says, Hopperine, you got 1 hour. Grab whatever you can. It's yours. So no one's going to disturb you. I'm going to close these doors and leave you to yourself. Have fun. That's what he does. He closes the doors, the inner doors, the outer doors, the whole bit. The king goes upstairs. And native's very confused. He's never seen a diamond in his life or any of these other precious metals or jewels, right? And he thinks he's being punished. Oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe this guy. I save his life. He brings me, treats me nice. And what does he do? He throws me in jail. Not only that, he wants me to work for him. He wants me to load these shiny pebbles into a sack. Sack with him. Go play tennis. I'm going to take a snooze. I'm going to go to sleep. Last year I said go play golf. I'm changing it. I got into tennis this year. So that's bad enough. I'm in jail. I'm not going to work for this guy. So he goes to sleep. And about 20 minutes later, he hears the king's footsteps above him. And he fears the king because he saw everybody bowing down to him. He understands the guy's very important. So anyway, he hears the king's footsteps. He says, oh, Takis might be checking up on me. So he wakes up and he quickly grabs a few stones and starts loading into the sack. And then he hears the king's footsteps go off in the distance. Goes back to sleep. An hour goes by rather quickly, as it always does. King comes down and locks the doors. Says, take your sack. You're free to go. And then he goes, huh? And he says, oh, leave. Gave back. And Native's really confused. I don't know. First this guy acts nice to me, then he imprisons me, now he lets me go. What's going on? So he starts to leave. He says, no, don't forget your sack. He wants to take the sack, I'll take the sack. He takes the sack, he starts to leave, he gets further and further away from the palace, and he starts galloping faster and faster. Let's get away from this whole thing. He goes straight to the port, he wants to get the first boat back to his island, back to normalcy. Who does he see? An old-time friend that used to live on the island with him. And he says, oh, Shvendrick, how are you? And they start to, what's going on? What's Mox? And he says, I can believe this story. And he goes, what happened? I says, the guy that lives in that palace? And he goes, yeah. He says, he was shipwrecked on our island. He says, you got to be kidding. I heard that he was shipwrecked. I didn't know. I nursed him back to health. The guy was like half dead, and everything. And he says, You know who that is? He says, I don't care who it is. The guy is nuts. He started, I saved his life. I thought he was going to reward me. He brought me back. And he goes, yeah, what'd he do? He threw me in a dungeon. He threw me in a dungeon. He wanted me to work for him to boot. He wanted me to load some stones, but I fooled him. I went to sleep. He goes, wait. You don't understand. That's the king. He owns this whole place. This whole country belongs to him. He goes, you're kidding. He goes, no. And he's known to be a very kind, benevolent. He's full of mercy, this king. He says, he would never do something like that. What? These stones, let me see them. And he says, yeah, I have a few. He takes out a few emerald diamonds. He goes, oi, you are a Shmendrick. I says, don't you know what these are? He goes, no. These are the most valuable commodity here on earth. If you would have spent that 1 hour collecting all you could of these, you could have lived in peace and bliss for the rest of your life. You had one chance in a million. You blew it. Niftach Meliel says, the parable is us. We're put down in Olam Hazeh in this world for 1 hour, basically, compared to eternity. And what do? Hashem tells us, I'm going to give you a bunch of diamonds, emeralds, rubies. They're called brachas, kriya shma, davening, Rosh Hashanah, sukkahs, Torah, mitzvahs, holidays. Hop around, guys. You got 1 hour. Yeah? And we think, you know, it's bad enough. I got this problem with my spouse. I got this problem with my kids. I got this problem with work. That's bad enough. I got those problems. I have to have problems from you. That's what we think. You know? I don't need it. I'll get by as little as possible. But Taka, we are scared of Hashem because the Jewish neshama senses the connection. And every now and then we hear Hashem's footsteps above, usually around this time of year. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we kind of think Hashem's going to check up on us. So we awaken and we grab a few stones. We grab a few mitzvahs and we put them in the sack. Comes November, Hashem's footsteps fade off in the distance. We feel distant. We go back to sleep. Of course, we know the hour is going to be up. We're going to get up there. And the angels on high are going to say, no, let's see those sack of diamonds that you collected during your 1 hour. That golden opportunity. Excuse the play on words. Say, those were diamonds? You mean that brachas? Saying amen? Heshmei Rabba? I didn't know. I thought, you know, being kind to animals was the most important thing in the world. And whatever it was, recycling, whatever. So, no. So you guys had an opportunity that us angels were jealous of you. If you would have spent your 1 hour down there on earth grabbing all the Torah and mitzvahs you could, you guys could have spent the rest of eternity in peace and bliss. You had one chance. Let's not blow it. So that's the story. The story of Rosh Hashanah is making Hashem king. It says, Achet HaGodol B'Yoyser. What's the biggest sin? Achet HaGodol B'Yoyser Shel Yehudi. Shehu Shochayach. Shehu Ben Melech. He forgets he's a son of the king. That's the biggest sin of a Jew. We forget that we have blue blood in us, that we're royalty, that we're all princes and princesses. We forget these things. The main thing on Rosh Hashanah, the main kavanah we have to have is, why are we here? What is the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is to recognize that there's a creator and to serve him. That is the purpose. That's the whole reason for the whole world. And to symbolize this, the world was really created on the 25th day of Elul, which I think was yesterday. Okay? But we don't call that Rosh Hashanah. We don't call that the beginning of the creation of the world. If you look in the tefillah, in the davening, it says, this is the day of the creation of the world. And we go on Aleph Tishrei, which is the day that Adam was created. Because the whole purpose of creation is to make Hashem a king. Without Adam, everything else in the world means absolutely nothing. All these things out there, everything. From the animal world to the vegetable world and everything else is all for the purpose to be a means to an end to make Hashem the Melech. Now, this concept, Bechlal, needs an explanation. What does it mean? So we're saying that a Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment, right? We're saying Hashem comes and he's going to judge us. Is the purpose of creation being fulfilled? Have you made me a king over you? What does that mean? I mean, what is it? The obvious question is that Hashem needs us to make him. Hashem, all powerful, all everything. What's this concept of making us, that we can give something to Hashem? And that's the key to Rosh Hashanah. That's the beauty of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not we're asking for nothing. It's what we can give. Tshuva we're asking on Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah, no mention of tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is purely a selfless day. What can I give you, Hashem? I want to display my love for you. That's Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with this concept of free will. There is other worlds, not physical worlds, with spiritual worlds. Angels, for example, which have no free will entity. They're just spiritual beings that automatically do the will of Hashem. That's why the word for angel is the same word for messenger. They are pure messenger of Hashem. They can do no wrong. So that's very nice. But the vort is that Hashem's greatest present, being good, and the ultimate good, is He wanted us, for some reason, which we don't understand, to be a partner with Him in creation. In the purpose and the climax of the whole world, He wants us, He's given us the opportunity to be partners with Him. That's the ultimate and good. Right? He has a monopoly. He's president. He doesn't need a board. But He decided He wants to give this tremendous love and goodness to us and help us by allowing us to help Him. So that's the concept of a melech. A moishel, for example, a ruler, rules against his subjects by force. A melech, ein am bli melech. Ein melech bli am. There's no king without a nation. Hashem is a moishel. He's a yitzer. He's a boira. He's a creator. He's a fashion. He's a ruler. He's everything. But a melech, he can only be with us. We have to willingly accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our melech, as our king. That statement means that we want to participate in the whole purpose and mission of why He created the world. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is the coronation. It's another, every year we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu for another year. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's interesting, you know, Rav Salanter used to say, you know, in Kriya Shema, every day we have a miniature coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know that in Kriya Shema, when you say Shema, you're supposed to have in mind that Hashem is one in the seven heavens, on the earth, in the four corners. He's the king over all these dimensions. And Rav Salanter used to say, when you're doing that, don't forget to make Him a king over you. That's what we forget sometimes. Okay, so Rosh Hashanah, this is a unique yontif. Again, what we can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to talk about in a minute the first person to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu king, and that is Avraham. Avraham Avinu, Avraham our father, who's in all of us, shows us what it means to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu a melech. Before we get to there, I just want to emphasize that making a Kadosh Baruch Hu a king and just saying you're my king, that doesn't suffice. What it means is that throughout the year that we have to acknowledge, this is a very key thing, what it means to make Hashem a melech is throughout the year to acknowledge His presence in our lives, that we could do nothing without His help. That's what it means, one of the aspects of making Kadosh Baruch Hu a melech. You hear? That we have to understand that without the Eibishter, also the Eibishter, without the Eibishter help, without His help, we cannot do anything. And that's why we continually daven for our needs, personal, private, totality of all Israel, constantly, constantly proclaiming that without You, we can't do anything. Okay, now let's talk about Avraham Avinu. Avram, as we know, was tested 10 times. Now, Avram is mentioned in the Torah reading on the second day. We read the Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. Okay? I'm going to switch over. We're going to turn over the tape. Okay. Rambam writes, Maimonides, that he used to go out, used to travel from place to place, and he used to meet thousands upon thousands of people. And he taught each one according to their capacity. Okay? And he taught people about God, and we know famous stories, Midrashim, and we're going to get to it, about brachas, how he taught people how to say brachas, basically. And he had only one mission, Avram's mission, which was the mission of Adam, and was the mission of Noah, but they failed, was to restore the dignity and the melucha, the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu back on earth, to teach the entire world that Hashem is the creator. Okay? So Avram's love, his intensive love, surpassed anybody else. And he is the man that is tested and is willing to sacrifice and is tested from all angles to give up his wife, to give up his son, right? To give up his whole outreach even, to do mutilation on his body, bris milah, all these things. He's tested at all sorts of different angles and all different levels. Basically, they're all a test of one idea. How much did Avram love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much did he make him a melech over himself? And everything Avram did, he bequeathed to us, his descendants. That's the key here. And that's why we read the binding of Isaac, because that's the on Rosh Hashanah, the second day, because that's the supreme sacrifice. The supreme sacrifice of saying my whole life is yours, Hashem, and I want to do your will. To that point of sacrificing the whole destiny, legacy of Israel on that altar. That's what that represents. Okay. Throughout these ordeals, Rav Israel Taube writes this. Rav Israel Taube was a survivor of the Holocaust. And he writes throughout all these ordeals that Hashem put Avram through and tested him. Avram, of course, never complained. His awareness that Hashem was the king, is the king, during good times, bad times, it never waned. And the ultimate goal of all these tests, as we said, was to infuse this forever in his descendants, us. The Chasam Sofer, he asked, why is it that the people of Israel, where do we get this resiliency, this ability to survive persecution after persecution, unequaled inquisitions of pogroms, expulsions, all these things, and being kicked out and rebuilding again and starting anew and constantly, and most recently after the European disaster of Germany, right? And building up Torah institutions bigger and better all the time. Where is it that we get this ability? He says, by rights, even the Goyesha, Mark Twain writes about this. He says, by rights, the Jewish people should have vanquished many, many years ago. Vanished, excuse me. We should have vanquished also, had we not sinned. Right? That's a different story. Okay. He says, how is it that this persecuted population, this small group of people, have defied all laws of history and keep on going? And the Chasam Sofer writes, it's all because of the power of Avram Avinu and what he went through. That he went out penniless and lech lecha into a land and where he just followed Hashem blindly. Lech lecha, the first test, he followed Hashem blindly, didn't know where he's going, he just got up and left. And that he transmitted to his seed, the ability to start anew, to abandon security, to abandon home, comfort, family, popularity, and blaze new trails. Okay. This, he says, is the dynamic operating force behind the suffering of the Jewish people. Suffering can compare to darkness, right? It in fact contradicts the very existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, suffering. Hashem is good by nature, he's all good. How is it that suffering can even exist? Nevertheless, it does exist because this idea of free will, Hashem allows man to do things for good or for bad, and consequently suffering can happen. Alright? But the nation of Israel, the children of Avram, they have been sent on a mission in the suffering, during the trials, during the tribulations, to coronate Hashem, to remember He's our King, to create a Kiddush Hashem at all times and in all circumstances. And dafka, when it's darkest, when it's the most suffering, is the opportunity to proclaim by our steadfast adherence of faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's a King, more than any other times. That's when we really can show our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more darkness, the more opportunity for a Kiddush Hashem. This is the power, he says, that Avraham Avinu gave to us. Akedas Yitzchak. The binding of Isaac. Contradict everything Avraham taught. It meant losing all his disciples. It meant a direct contradiction to a prophecy that he got, that from Yitzchak will come the children of Israel. It defied logic. It was a test against his own spirituality. Test me against physicality, where I'm thrown into a furnace. I can handle that. Test me when you take my wife. I can handle that. Test me when I have to give up my son's life. I can handle that. But take away my spirituality, my soul, my mission of serving you and spreading your name. That's what he was asked to do at Kadesh Yitzchak. It contradicted everything. That was the supreme sacrifice. That embedded, that's the rule, Maaseh Avos Siman Labanim, that embedded in the Jewish people the ability to survive all questions, all doubts of what's going on, why is this happening, I don't understand. That is the ability of being survivors. We are survivors. We have the ability from Avraham Avinu, no matter what we're going through in life, what kind of suffering we're going through, we don't understand it. We're trying to get close to you, and you seem further and further away from me. It's right there in the Kadesh Yitzchak. Vayar samakom merachok. He saw the place, but amakom also means Hashem's name. He saw him in the distance. I'm trying to do your will, Hashem, and you seem so distant from me. I'm trying to do what you want me to do, and yet I don't feel the closeness that I used to. What's going on? That ability, even when you feel all alone and you don't feel the love, the closeness to Hashem you want to feel, and you're asked to sacrifice and you're asked to suffer, and suffering doesn't mean it has to be physical suffering. It could be mental, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional, it can come to grips with questions of faith and trust that you don't understand that things are happening in the world in your personal life. But you still go on, and you still do, and you still try to make Hashem your king by not giving up. That is the trait of survivors. That's the nation of Israel. We are survivors. We continue to go. We don't give up. We fall down. We have the feelers, but we get back up and we keep going. And those times that we stumble and fall, with again, the chances for the Kiddush Hashem, of making Hashem a Melech, is greater and greater. This is all bequeathed to us from Avraham Avinu. There's another aspect. There's another aspect to this. There's two ways to make Hashem your king. There's two ways of creating a Kiddush Hashem in the world. There's the previous generation, and there's our generation. There's Yitzchak, and there's Avraham. There's Yitzchak being bound on the altar, willing, ready, and able to give up his life, not understanding why. Only because he's Ben Avraham. I'm a Jew. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That's making Hashem a Melech. That's the Holocaust. Giving up your life. But it's called a test for Avraham. Interesting. It's a test for Yitzchak, but not to the degree it was a test for Avraham. Because while Yitzchak had to go on that altar, Avraham had to come back down. While Yitzchak had to give up his life as a Jew, Avraham Avinu had to go on living as a Jew, with possible questions, with doubts, with fears and anxieties. He had to go on living with the Tzoras. Avraham Avinu is us. It's this generation after the Holocaust. After the binding of all the Yitzchaks, we have to come back down from the Holocaust and go on living with the questions and the doubts. That's the greatest Kiddush Hashem a Yid can do. Not knowing, not understanding, and still accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu as my Melech. Rosh Hashanah is a Yantav. Perplexing. So Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment. It's a day of crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a Simcha of Yontav. It's a mitzvah to have basar and yayin, meat and wine, like any other Yontav. What's the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah? The Simcha of Rosh Hashanah, it's very simple. We're part of the team. We are part of your kingdom. We get to participate. Right? No fun to sit on the sidelines while the big boys play. We get to play! We get to be part of that idea of your coronation and continue throughout the year of coronating you and making you our melech. How do we do this? Talked about suffering, and every time we go through a trial, a tribulation, and we don't question Hashem, we further add to the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's going to come a day when we have built up so much of this spiritual energy in the world, of so much suffering and not questioning in our personal lives and in the lives of Israel, that spirituality is going to reach a level that's going to cause the Mashiach to come. Push it. We just kept going, we never gave up. Finally, Hashem said, Gnug Shrine, it's time. And Rosh Hashanah is a microcosm of Yemos Mashiach, of that time. When the whole world is going to recognize Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, His name is one, and there is no other. And when that day arrives, the world's going to ask, who made God king? Who made him the Melech? And the answer, of course, is going to be you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and everybody else. Every single Jew, starting from Abraham, added their share in proclaiming to the world, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Vaed. And at that awesome time, everybody's going to see exactly, and they're going to recognize their exact part in bringing about this great day to all of mankind. It's going to be ironic, because there's no doubt we're all going to be very shocked. We're going to be amazed at seeing what part we played in making Hashem king. We're going to think some of our high points, you know, we're going to see then they weren't so important. And other things that we thought were very insignificant when we were so down, and we still said the bracha, we still got up and davened, we still went to shul. We're going to see those private acts, secret acts, behind our closed doors. They'll take on earth-shaking proportions. They're going to be very important on high. Avraham Avinu used to invite people, anybody, to his tent. And what did he used to tell them? They served him this scrumptious, delicious meal with all these delicacies, and the Medrash goes in detail about it. So they said, thank you. I said, don't thank me. Thank He who said and created the world. Thank the King. Macha brocha. I said a brocha. They said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. They said a brocha. They proclaimed Hashem the King with every brocha. You want to take Rosh Hashanah? You want a New Year's resolution? I'm going to give you a New Year's resolution that I myself am going to try to do. You want to coronate Hashem? Take the Ashpah of Rosh Hashanah throughout the year. You got a miniature coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of His kingship, every time you say a bracha. Start giving brachas chashivas. Start saying them out loud and slow. And every time you say it, Melech HaOlam, mean it. That you're the king. And as the king, that means I got to do your will. You don't have to do my will. I have to serve you on your terms. I get to serve you. And I'm mole simcha. I'm full of simcha. Because Melech HaOlam, you're the king of the world, means that you want me to be part of it. Not Moishel, not ruler, Melech. Right? Ein Melech B'liam. You need me. So you set it up that way. I'm part of the team. That's how you take Rosh Hashanah throughout the year. That's how Avram Avinu, with all his tests, his principal point of outreach is Macha Bracha. Proclaim that Hashem is king of the world with each Bracha. A miniature coronation. That's what a Bracha is. That blessing that we say, the blessings for every day, is an opportunity to continue to carry Rosh Hashanah out throughout the year. Grab something from Rosh Hashanah, something small, something you can do. Gemara says, tafasta maruba, lo tafasta. You try to grab too much, you'll get nothing. Anybody knows that? You try to bring all 8 bags of groceries in from the car at one shot. Right? Tafasta muat, tafasta. But if you grab something small, hang on to it. Get to something small. Something. Don't try to do wholesale tshuva either. Try to do retail tshuva. Do something small. Rosh Hashanah, do something small. Make one New Year's resolution. I don't know about you, but for me, it's Hashem, Abish Azodal Helfen. It's going to be brachas. Continue the Rosh Hashanah, the Melucha. Let's continue the reign and make it a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a Melech over us. Every time we say a bracha, recognizing that this item or this ability is from Hashem, He's my King, and the Simcha that goes with it, that I get to serve Him and to bring about His kingship throughout all the world. Each bracha adds that spiritual energy until we're going to get to the point where the whole world is going to recognize and crown a Kodesh Baruch Hu as their king. Thank you, and every Shabbat Chassidus Limitaiva.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.